Let us pray together. Lord God, we are glad that we can gather as your people in this place of worship this morning. We are glad that we can learn from our children how to worship you, how to worship you in the right spirit, one that simply trusts, one that simply believes, one that simply raises hands and voices to you without doubt. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. And Lord, we ask that you would give us faith to believe as a child this morning, that we would take your hand, that we would put our worries down, and that we would seek you first in all things. And Lord, we thank you for this church, West Valley Presbyterian Church, and we thank you for the programs and the prayers and the people here that make up your body. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with us as we move forward into this next school year, that you would help us to continue to proclaim your truth and your gospel to all who come. May we be a welcoming church. May we be a church that shows your love to all people. Oh, Lord, give us the compassion and the understanding to see one another the way that you see them. Lord God, forgive us our sins. We thank you that you do this readily and eagerly, and that's what the cross was all about. But Lord, sometimes we forget that we are sinful and we need to confess. So Lord, we give ourselves to you in this time, confessing, realizing that we are weak and you are strong. Lord, we pray that whatever is in our hearts that is separating us from you, you would remove, and that we would be able to start new today in the fullness of life and in the fullness of the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, there are those among us who are sick or who need help. We think of Carol McCune this morning. We lift him to you. We pray for Marvis Eldridge and her challenges this year. And we pray, Lord, too, for all who are seeking employment, for all who struggle with family matters, for all who need a special dose of your grace. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon them, that we as your people would be ready to respond, but that also, Lord, you would make all of our folks, whether they're lonely or sick, unemployed, or just struggling with the turmoil of life, that you would make yourself known to them. Lord, we thank you for this community, and we thank you that service worship was well attended last Sunday. And Lord, we just pray for a community, that we would continue to reach out to them, and that the community would know when they see us doing works of kindness that that's the kind of God you are. A God who calls us, a God who lavishes love upon us, a God who never will leave us alone. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this time, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless the rest of this service that has already been filled with your presence. May we have open hearts to hear what you have to say, and may we take it in a way that applies to our daily lives. Lord, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning, trusting you and trusting that you walk with us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. Hear the word of God. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and your minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Amen.
Thank you, Natalie. Well, the scripture that Natalie just read so well is an ancient scripture that tells us how important it is to pass on the things of God to our children. It was an oral tradition, we call it, when the families in the Old Testament used to tell the stories again and again and again to their kids, so it would become a part of their children's rhetoric from day to day. It wasn't just something that they learned when they went to the synagogue, or something that we, you know, they pulled out at certain high holy seasons. It was talked about. The things of God were talked about all the time in the Jewish community. And this ancient text says, talk about the things of God with your children while you're walking on the road, while you're sitting at the table and having a meal. Talk about, put them on your forehead, one scripture says, and something called a phylactery was sometimes actually put on a Jewish male's forehead with the law inside it, literally tied on that way. In reference to this particular scripture, the point is that God's law and who God was and our purpose as believers in the world is we can only pass that on to our kids if we talk about it, if it becomes integrated into our lifestyle. And again, I want to commend all of you who sent your children to this camp, because they will never forget these songs. They will never forget the skits that have huge moral underpinnings for choices that they must make. And I don't know about you. Some of you may have been raised in the church, some of you not. I was raised in the church. It was a little white Presbyterian church down from where I lived. And we learned songs. And I sang in children's choir. One of the songs I learned as a child is This Little Light of Mine. How many of you know This Little Light? Okay, so good. I have never forgotten that song. Sometimes annoyingly so, but it stays in my mind. And actually, I forgot it for a while. And then I was going through a really dark time in my life as an adult, and that song came back. I say, I believe the Holy Spirit does that for us, brings back things that we learned as children to help inform us now, to encourage us. And I realized in that dark time that God's light was so much brighter than any darkness I might have been walking through. Another song I learned as a child, which I'm sure many of you have either learned or heard of, is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. That's an old, old, old song. Who knows that song? Come on. I know you know. Yeah, okay. So, at a time when I wasn't feeling loved by God, that song that I hadn't thought about in years, that I had learned as a child, came back to me, and I realized at that time, I actually am loved by God. I need to start living into that love that I know is there for me, that the Bible tells me is true. Finally, another song I learned as a child, it is a song called Lord, I Want to Be a Christian in My Heart, in My Heart. Lord, I Want to Be a Christian in My Heart. Who knows that one? All right, you guys are good. You're right. But I learned it the wrong way, which shows that God can even use our human frailty for His glory, all right? So I sang in the children's choir, like I told you, but the little boy next to me didn't sing it right. He sang, Lord, I want to be a question in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a question in my heart. Well, this song came back to me the wrong way. As an adult, as I was questioning God and wondering why some stuff was happening to someone I loved and my prayers didn't seem to be being answered at the time, and it struck me that God welcomes my questions. And that it's okay to ask questions. That God invites me to the table to say, Lord, I don't understand. Help me. Help me in my weakness. So these songs and these messages that our children learn very, very young have a huge impact on them. And again, I want you never to underestimate the value of teaching your children about God, bringing them to places like this where they they can know that they are loved unconditionally and that they have a community of faith here who cares about them, who will love them. You know, we had a parenting class recently here at church, and I'm going to cut down my message. I'm sorry, I'm kind of going off the slides, but I know we don't have much time. But we had a parenting class here, and one of the questions that was asked at the parenting class for all the parents there in that room was, if your child got into Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford, and they were not an ethical person, and they did not have good character, would you be satisfied as a parent? And every single person in the class said, no, I would not be satisfied as a parent if my children got into those Ivy League institutions and did not have good character. Because as parents, we want that. As caregivers, we want that. As grandparents, we want that for our kids. And yet the irony is that we sometimes can get so caught up in the academic success, especially in this area, right? I mean, we've got great schools and great things that will prepare our kids for academia. But what about their character? What about raising kids who are compassionate, who can show empathy, who know what it's like to serve another person and be fulfilled from that serving? What about all those components? You know, that's very, very important. And this is where the church comes in, to provide those opportunities and to teach children that it isn't just about academic success, although that's important. I'm not downing that. But when they do fail, and they will, when relationships implode, and they will, when they feel rejected, or when they're not doing climbing the ladder the way they should be, they have a group of people here who in the church who know God's unconditional love for them. This church is a church that talks about God's grace, God's mercy, God's willingness to forgive us no matter what we do. This is a community that has supported and nurtured many children in the past towards faith. And this is where you can come when the bottom drops out. We're not a community that earns God's love. We're a community of faith that knows that no matter what, no matter how bad we mess up, no matter how bad we fail, we have a God who scoops us up. And that when we get to the end of our rope, God lives there. I just want to show you a slide of the value that going to church has for children. It came out in a recent article. It says, why religion matters even more. And again, we have this weird dichotomy between parents, grandparents, caregivers wanting their kids to have good character, but then only 2% of the Bay Area actually attend church. So here are the benefits. This is a summary of recent data. This is a summary of recent studies done. I can't get into all of it because of time, but available data clearly indicates that religious belief and practice, not just believing in your head, but practice, are associated with stronger parent-child relationships, greater educational aspirations and attainment, especially among the poor, interestingly, higher levels of good work habits, greater longevity and physical health, higher levels of well-being and happiness. We're created for God. We're created to worship someone beyond ourselves. Higher recovery rates from addictions to alcohol or drugs, although those involved in religious belief and practice are less likely to use. Higher levels of self-control, self-esteem, and coping skills. Higher rates of charitable donations and volunteering. Higher levels of community cohesion and social support for those in need. So I want to encourage you to keep bringing your children to church. And if you don't have a church home, some of you do, bring them here. It matters. Your kids are valuable. They matter. They matter to this church and they matter to God. In 2 weeks' time, Steve's going to be continuing what he started here in Mad Camp, and he will be having rehearsals for the choir Children's Youth Ensemble here on Wednesdays. There's a lot of activities, like I said before, for kids here at this church. So again, we welcome you. I just want to close with a story. My great-grandparents came over from Italy in poverty, and it was the they lived in the south side of Chicago, very, very rough area. And my grandfather, in this very rough area, became a champion lightweight boxer, and it probably saved his life. But it was the Presbyterian Church in the south side of Chicago there, again, full of gangs and drugs and you name it, they had it, that taught my great-grandparents and my grandparents to read. And it's because of that church and that community that my grandfather became a pastor rather than joining a gang. And he was able to get his MDiv, his education at Duke, in an accelerated program there because he knew how to read English. Now, our kids, not because they're in dire physical poverty like he was, but because they are being raised in a culture of spiritual poverty where there's a lot of isolation, a lot of lack of community, a lot of emphasis on what we achieve rather than just nurturing the child's spirit. Our kids need the church. They need God, and they need a personal relationship with Him. So again, I encourage you, bring them to church. If you're doing it, bless you. If you don't have a church home, talk to me afterwards. We have loved, loved, loved your kids this past week. They are wonderful. They are wonderful. And God loves them, and they matter. Would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you so much for giving us the gift of children. We ask, Lord, for each one of these kids here this morning, that you would fill them with your spirit, that you would give them a sense of your presence and care, and help us as parents, teachers, caregivers, grandparents, to continue to nurture the seeds that have been planted this week by continuing to bring them to places like the church where they can experience your love and your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks so much for worshiping with us today, and please bow for the benediction. May you go out in the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you and your family are valuable to Him. May you walk in the Spirit. May you share the good news with your children and grandchildren, and may you be filled with the knowledge that God is with you. Amen.